So Jerusalem had been God's city for hundreds of years, but this is what the walls look like after 100 years of exile. 100 years ago, the people of God were attacked, Jerusalem's city was broken to bits, and the leaders, the nobles, were taken off to a foreign place in exile, to be slaves, to be servants. So the wall is broken down, the city's not safe, people don't live there anymore. Last week, though, we learnt of hope, because God found a new leader, and the new leader was Nehemiah. And here we have him in all his glory. And he was appointed by God as the head builder. So we're going to start building a wall. He wasn't a builder by trade. He was a servant of the king. But he was also the servant of God. And the servant of God prays. And we learnt last week that he prayed. Can anyone remember how long he prayed for? Any ideas? Was it a couple of days? It was months. He prayed for 4 months. So we have a builder who prays a lot. So there's our next bit of the wall. In praying to God for 4 months, he was trying to find out God's heart. And what he discovered was God's promise. And we find that in Nehemiah chapter 1. And this is the promise. I will gather them, and that's the people who have been exiled, from there, from the place where they've been exiled, and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. What's that? What's the place that's been chosen as a dwelling for God's name? It's Jerusalem again. So, we have an amazing promise that even though they've been spread all over the place, a bit like you're scattered around the church, God is going to draw everyone back together. The people he has chosen will come and live in the place that he has chosen for the dwelling of my name. That's a strange phrase. What does that mean? So there's a promise to bring them back. But a promise is just a few words. Promises need actions. And what we heard last week was that God did act. God provided, and he provided 4 things. If we look at them, he provided a king, the foreign king, giving permission for Nehemiah to come all the way back from the foreign land to build the wall. Written permission, you're allowed to build the wall. They gave him timber, the timber that was needed, given from the king's forest, to come and build the broken down gates of the wall. They gave him a leader. So God provided Nehemiah as the head builder. And we'll hear in the first verse of our next reading that he gave the people who were living in Jerusalem a heart for God. So that when the leader turned up, they actually agreed to work together and build the walls. So we've got one final bit. God promises and provides. God promised that he would bring people together to build the wall, to rebuild the city, and he provided everything that was needed to do that. So what's that got to do with us today? What do we need with walls? Well, if you think about what the purpose of walls is, it's to defend people, it's to keep people safe. It's so that people can be living together, working together as one. But a wall also is a statement of where you belong. It's a symbol of who is in control. Several hundred years ago, Oswestry had walls. We haven't got them anymore. But the walls around Oswestry were to show that this is an English town. This belongs to the King of England. And the Welsh can't come in unless we say yes. In the same way, the city of God had walls to say, this is the place that belongs to God. This is where God lives, but it's also where God's rule extends. So we've got one final bit to put on before we go to the next section. This is the heavy one. We have a beam. Hey. It says, our God lives and reigns here. And that's what we want to say about being together as God's people today. When we meet together as God's people, we're saying, our God lives among us, our God reigns among us. So that's something worth doing. And as we follow the rest of the story this morning, I want us to be thinking about, what does it mean to show that God lives and reigns in our lives? What does it mean that God lives and reigns in the people who come here? Because we want to show that we're different from what's going on outside. But we also want them to feel welcome to come and join us. So that's what we're going to try and do this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll have the first reading. Father God, thank you that you are our King and that you reign over us. And we pray that this morning as we retell the story of Nehemiah, you would encourage us to live under your kingship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Carol's going to read the first reading.
Hear us. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carol. It's quite hard work building a wall, so I think I need some help. So would the children who are with us like to come up to the front and help? You don't need to be frightened. If you want to bring a friend, you can do. If you come up here and sit down. Have we got many more workers? Thank you. I might need to call on a few more to help out as we go. The good news is the wall is half built. Not bad? Is that good? The bad news is that half a wall actually isn't an awful lot of good. Because if someone wants to come and get in, it's not that difficult to get over this. I think we could leap over this quite easily if we took a run at it. I'm not going to try. And the bad news on top of that is that when the people were building this wall, there were people who didn't want them to build it. They didn't like what Nehemiah was doing. They didn't like what the people of God were doing. They wanted to stop them. So I want a couple of you, can you be angry? Can you two come and be angry? Come and stand up here. Stand up here. You stay down there for the moment. I'll use you in a minute. And I want you to look really angry. Right. Is that angry enough? Are you frightened? Not really sure, are we? Yeah, let's worry about what's going to happen. Why are they angry? They want to stop the building. And they don't just get angry. They think, we're going to do something about this. We're going to attack. Here we are. So they're ready and willing to stop the building happen. They don't want the people of Israel to have their own city, somewhere they can be different, somewhere they can be God's people. They feel threatened by that. And sometimes we can have people around us who think what we do as Christians is a threat to them. They don't like us being different. So what did Nehemiah do? What does Nehemiah always do? He prayed. And he prayed, and the answer to the prayer was, post a watchman. So let's put someone up on the wall to watch. Would you like to come and watch? Should you come up the top? Right. I want you looking through there.
Yeah.
Can you see anyone? What's over there? Look around there. Oh, there's people who want to attack. Thank you very much. You can put that down. So he posted a watchman. And he said to the people, are you all right? And they said, well, actually, no. We're a bit scared. We're a bit frightened. We're actually rather tired of building. So look, they're looking tired and they're looking scared. Can you stand up and look tired? I'll help you. Turn around and face everyone. Look like Paul does after all that work in the kitchen. Oh, can you look tired? Oh, and can you look scared? Can you wobble your knees?
Hey, but I want to be scared. I want to attack.
Yes, you want to attack. Oh, there's an interesting... There's an interesting answer. But we posted a watchman. They can see what they're doing. It's not really anything to worry about. But even though Nehemiah had prayed and they posted a watchman, the people said, no, that's it. I'm tired and I'm scared. I'm not going to work anymore. And they went on strike. They stopped building the wall. Now, that's not good news. So Nehemiah thought, what do we do? And his next answer was to take the lead. So he armed his people. So who said they wanted to fight? Who was it who said they wanted to fight? Yes? Come up on the wall. Here we are. Anyone else want to fight? Here we are. There you are. One for you. One for you. And he said to the people of God, are you all right now? Are you ready to work? You've got someone watching on the wall. You've got someone ready to fight. You've got people outside who are angry and really want to stop you working. Are you okay to work now? No. They're still not ready to work. So God, Nehemiah, calls all the workers together. Do you want to come down here and be another worker, or are you going to be a fighter? Another fighter. He called them together, and this is what he told them. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember that God promised that we will be his people. He's promised that he will have us complete this wall. He's given us everything we need to do it. Why are you afraid? And the people thought about it, and they realized they could trust God. So what we ended up with was they're working again. That's good. So can you help me build the wall? Can you put that one up first? Up we come. Up to the top. And that one as well. Well done. Excellent. Thank you very much. No, that one can stay down for a moment. We'll come back to that in a minute. You're too fast worker, you are. Right. So what we've learnt is God is great. He's awesome. Nothing can stop him completing the work he's started. If we trust him, we can carry on and work in safety.
Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. Some were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. Others were saying, we're mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine. Still others were saying, we've had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. Although we are the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and vineyards belong to others. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, as far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. They kept quiet because they had nothing to say. So I continued, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of the Lord our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies?
I and my brothers, my men, are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you're charging them, 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. We will give it back, they said, and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Liz. If I could have my helpers back again, we still haven't finished this wall. Well done. And what's good is you're working it again. No more strikes. All happy to work. That's really good. If you want to sit yourself down for a moment, we've got a wall. It's defended. We've had people guarding it. We've had people watching. So it's a safe place to be. The problem now is what's going on inside the wall. What's going on between the people who are building, the people who are guarding, what's happening within the people of God. And there's a big problem. Maybe because we're all busy working, and so we haven't been farming, but maybe it's because of the bad weather, there's no food. So there's a problem. Well, there's a problem for some of us, not all of us. So I want, who would like to be rich? Who'd like to, oh, that was quick. Up you get. Stand up. I want you to come over here again. In a time of famine, you can come up as well. Yes? There are rich people. Stay down here. No, it's all right. We'll find something for you to be. Oh, we've got three of you now. Rich people, they didn't have a problem with the famine. They had all the food they needed. Look at this. In fact, they had more than they needed. And the rest of you, you're the farmers.
But I don't want to be the farmer.
You don't want to be the farmer. You want to be a rich person, don't you? But we can't all be rich. That's the problem. It's rather sad. And the rich people had all of the food. The poor people had nothing. Can you put your hands out? We've got nothing. What do we do? What can we possibly do? We're losing the rich people. The rich people had the wine as well. Right. As long as you're safe up there. You're defended at least. So the rich people had all the food. The poor people didn't have any food. So what's the answer? Well, why don't you buy some of the food from the rich people? Oh, you haven't got any money. Well, how about they lend you some money to buy some food from the rich people? Does that make sense? But you'll have to pay the money back. How are you going to pay the money back? And they came up with an answer, the rich people. Probably a good reason to run away at this point. They said, if you give us some of your children to be servants, we'll give you some food. So would you like to come up? Would you like to come up and be a worker for the rich people? And then the poor people can have some food. Are you happy now? Is that happy? They're happy with the food. But they weren't really happy. They'd lost some of their children to work for the rich people. Nehemiah heard about this, and did Nehemiah think it was a good thing? He was angry. Who'd like to be angry? Would you like to be angry for me? Come and stand up and be angry. Yes? Stand there for a moment. Nehemiah is the chief builder, so you need the builder's hat. Can you stand up and be... Let's come and stand up on the top here. Can you look angry? Turn around and face everyone. And you tell them, point at the rich people, and say, what you're doing is wrong. Can you do that? Point to the people over there and say, what you're doing is wrong.
What you're doing is wrong.
Thank you very much. Very good. You can put your arm down now. And he said, it's not just that it's wrong to do it, it's against God's word. And you're no different than everyone else who wants to stop us building the wall. In fact, if you remember, right at the start, Nehemiah had been taken off as a slave, or his family had, a long time ago. So he was saying, this is wrong. You can't do that. We're not quite ready to build the wall. It isn't God's way to take people into slavery. God's way is freedom. God's way is to share. So he said, give the children back, and more than that, give them the food they need as well. So because Nehemiah had shown them what was the right way, the people had their food, the nobles and the rich people had enough food to get on with, they were living together. They were living a different way to what was going on outside the walls. And Nehemiah had happy workers. So thank you very much. Well done. I'm just going to finish off building the wall. And you can go and sit down and I'll tell you what was going on. Thank you. If you sit down here. What we were learning was that God is merciful. God cares. He cares about the people who have nothing, but he also cares when people are behaving badly. So God cares for everyone. But he also wants us to change. He doesn't want us to be like everyone outside. He wants us to be caring ourselves, looking after people, making sure they've got all they need, not holding on to things because we're rich and we're happy, but making sure everyone is together working happily in God's kingdom. So Nehemiah had told everyone, don't do what is wrong. The nobles heard what he said, and they did what was right. They gave their food, they gave back the people they'd taken, and we had a workforce that was working. So we got to come back a bit later and learn how the wall was finished, because it's nearly there, but there's one gap in the middle, and we'll come back later on to find out how we fill the missing gap. Thank you for all your help.
So our third reading, we're now in chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his assistant to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, in which was written, It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed. Now strengthen my hands. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. We're nearly there. We've nearly finished the wall. But there is a gap. This is a picture, not a photograph, a picture of what Nehemiah's wall would have looked like when it was finished. Looks pretty good. You can see the walls, nice and tall, a good defence. You can see the houses, the people living together in peace. At the top, you can see the Temple Mount, the temple of God, God dwelling among his people. All the way through our story, Nehemiah has trusted God to fulfill his promise, and that was to bring the people back to a safe place, to be together in Jerusalem under his kingship. Jerusalem was to become a glorious place for God's people to live in safety under his peaceful reign. But he wasn't just restoring a wall. He was restoring the people's trust. He was getting them to see that God is awesome and great and was on their side, whoever was against them. And he showed them what justice looked like. He showed them that God is merciful for those who repent and those who obey his word, those who turn round and act differently. They had to change their ways. They had to live differently to their neighbours. But there's one thing that at the start of the reading was missing. Can you remember what it said at the start of chapter 6 was missing? What hadn't been finished? The doors, the gates hadn't been put in place. His enemies had tried to stop him by insulting him. The enemies had tried attacking him. And so they didn't want him to have a door, because the door would be the entrance to the place where God reigns. If you look at chapter 6, verse 2, the enemies who are trying to stop this wall that is nearly finished, they don't give up. In verse 2 of chapter 6, it says that his enemies were scheming to harm him. It's become personal. They're now not just saying, don't build that wall. They're not saying, we're going to attack you if they build that wall. We're actually going to do something to you, Nehemiah, the leader. They were scheming to have him killed. How they did that was they accused him of trying to become king himself. They accused him of rebelling against the foreign king who was in charge. They accused him of trying to make the people of God separate from everyone else. That's quite a threat, because Nehemiah had been sent by the king. Remember what was going on when God provided everything that was needed? He was given written permission from the king to build the city. If the king now thought that Nehemiah was going to rebel, it wouldn't just be the neighbours who'd be armed to fight, it would be the whole of the king's army turning up, and that wall would be knocked down again. What did Nehemiah do? He did what he always does. He prayed to God, and in verse 9 we see he said to God, "Now strengthen my hand." This is the biggest threat. This isn't just the neighbours, this is the whole of the kingdom of the foreign king against Nehemiah and the people of God. Is it really worth putting a gate in there? These walls are going to get knocked down. But Nehemiah prayed, God strengthened his hands, and he ignored the threats. And the good news is, they got the gate in place. So we have a complete wall and a gate. And the gate is possibly the most important part of the wall. If you just have a wall with no gate in it, you're not going to come in, you're not going to go out. You'll starve to death inside. The gate is how people can come in and out of the city. It's how the city lives. The city without a gate dies. The city without people coming in and out dies. It's taken 7.5 weeks, a really short time. But we now have a gate in the wall. And when the gate was put in the wall, that was the end of opposition. There's no more mention of Sanballat and his friends trying to destroy God's work. Because Nehemiah has trusted and obeyed, Jesus, Jerusalem, is now open for business. People are free to come in and out. But what about us? Have you heard all the reminders in this story about Jesus? Think about Jesus in the last days faced before he died on the cross. He was accused of wanting to become king. He was accused of leading a rebellion, of wanting to overthrow the foreign king. That was Caesar. Jesus was in a place where his work could have been ended. Jesus was in a place where his life was threatened. And Jesus was doing what Nehemiah was hinting at. He was there showing people how they could trust in God, how they could turn to God in repentance and live lives that were changed. So Nehemiah, throughout the work he's doing, is pointing us to Jesus. Jesus could have given up on that last few days, but he prayed to God in the Garden of Gethsemane to be strengthened. He prayed that he would be able to finish the work. And he did. But he finished his work not by building a gate that we would recognise, but building a different sort of gate. His death on the cross was the gate to the kingdom. We don't build the kingdom. The kingdom is the kingdom built by Jesus on the cross. We can go into God's kingdom by accepting his rule, by having faith and trust in the God who sent him, by trusting in God's mercy, living in repentance and obedience. We don't build the kingdom. God builds the kingdom. God is great and awesome. He's building the kingdom. And people come to the cross and enter. Our work is to repent and obey, to trust in a God who is great, and a God who is merciful. Because the job is finished. The building of the gate finished the work of Jerusalem. Jesus' death on the cross finished God's work of building the kingdom. The kingdom is here, and we are free to enter. And that's what we rejoice in. That's what makes us the people of God living under his reign here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your work of drawing people to your kingdom was completed by the death of Jesus on the cross. Thank you that we and so many have come to know the love of Jesus and to accept him as King in our lives. And we pray for the people we know who at the moment don't recognize the kingship of Jesus. They don't accept your reign in their lives. And Father, we trust you that your work will continue and be completed of drawing people into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.